Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. It's Monday, January 23rd. 2017, and we're going to interview someone who is elected to a nonpartisan position. And if you folks have been following the news this last week, it's been really, really crazy on the national level. But today we're going to take a break from that, and we're going to talk about the fact that on the local level, this vast break and partisanship doesn't really sort of exist. And we're talking to, Mike, you want to introduce our guest here?
We're talking to Tim Alinsky, brand new mayor of Cottonwood, and not new to Cottonwood, certainly. He's been on the council for 10 years, mm-hmm, city council, mm-hmm. And has lots of good ideas, and as like a lot of new guys coming in. We're going to talk about a lot of those today. But Sedona gets all the noise, all the excitement is always over in Sedona. But Cottonwood, everybody lives in Cottonwood. That's cool, and work in Sedona. So we're going to talk about the differences between Sedona and Cottonwood. When you move here. And I've lived here for over 40 years. But when you move here, all you hear about, people are trying to sum up Sedona in a sentence or two. And people try to sum up Cottonwood. Oh, that's where the, I've never been to Cottonwood. I hear that from Sedona people all the time, right. By the way. Democratic Perspective comes from Sedona. But its listening area is huge. Mm-hmm. And we probably have more listeners outside the Sedona area than we do in the Sedona
and
area.
And Lonely Planet Guide listed Cottonwood as one of the top 10 destinations, in the country?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's
according to who?
Lonely Planet. Have you seen the Lonely Planet guides, Mike?
I
know you're not lonely, so you probably don't read them like I do.
I'll take your word for it. Lonely Planet says Cottonwood's a place to go. Well, that's great. They need stuff like that. Sedona gets stuff like you've got stuff like that for the last 40 years, so that's nice to be on that.
Are you seeing an increase in tourism in Cottonwood over the last? You've been on the council for what, 10 years?
Has yeah, 10 years I've served on council, and then a year on the Planning and Zoning Commission. So there's certainly been a. And first, let me just say to Steve and Mike, thanks for the invite. It's great to be here on Democratic Perspective, and I think these are good opportunities that I hope we continue to pursue to get the word out about what Cottonwood and the community is doing. So I appreciate the opportunity to come in and speak with you both.
Well, welcome.
For folks listening from far away, Cottonwood is about 12,000 people.
That's
We're
right.
We're all here in northern Arizona, the high country of northern Arizona. Cottonwood is over 2,000 feet higher than, say, Phoenix. It mm-hmm. has a different climate, mm-hmm. a different structure. And we're talking to the new mayor.
Yeah, thanks again. So to answer your question about increase in tourism, there definitely has been an increase in tourism in Cottonwood. I think we're recently being recognized as the heart of Verde Valley wine country. That's our brand that we've tried to pursue in the last few years, and I think that's really taking hold, which is a good thing. Old Town Cottonwood has been a real driver for tourism. It's definitely an anchor point to draw people into the area, and it is doing well to attract folks to the area. And, of course, with the National Geographic designation here recently in conjunction with Sedona, Sedona and the Verde Valley have been recognized as National Geographic geotourism site, one of, I believe, only six in the nation.
Wow.
And only a handful throughout the world. So that's going to have huge dividends.
I'd like
huge
to give
dividends.
Credit to some of those river organizations that you and I both are familiar mm-hmm. with, the Verde Valley Nature Organization.
Right. There are so many.
Friends of the Verde River. Yes, yep. Exactly. The Verde River Basin Partnership. Mm-hmm. They just merged.
Yep.
I have it on good authority. All three of them will probably all merge mm-hmm. in the next a few months. We have a scoop right here on Democratic Perspective, but they have helped put the Verde Valley and its outdoor recreation mm-hmm. on the map.
Yeah, tremendous, tremendous. Yeah, and the Verde Front, too, has done amazing things with their String of Pearls.
Yeah, don't let me leave anybody out, which I'm sure I did.
And as Tim was saying, as Old Town is built up and filled out with all the tasting rooms and restaurants and stuff, a lot of people from Sedona, Mike's talking about the difference between Sedona and Cottonwood, a lot of people from Sedona go down to Cottonwood for dinner or for lunch mm-hmm. because oh, absolutely. There's a bunch of good restaurants and bars and wine tasting rooms. I know that most of the people I know started going down to Cottonwood. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it is, but there's a lot of good restaurants there and certainly, if you go on the internet, which we do occasionally, once in a while, yeah. you see a lot of good reviews of a lot of good places mm-hmm. in Cottonwood.
Well, with the concept of a restaurant district, which is what they've done in Old Town, is a proven concept, and it's certainly working really well. You mix that with tasting rooms, and mm-hmm. about to get our fifth or sixth one in the three blocks of Old Town Cottonwood.
Right.
It's a great magnet for people all over, yes. tourists and for people in Sedona and Phoenix.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't also point out the Midtown area as well. There's certainly a lot of good restaurants that are scattered about Cottonwood, and we're really fortunate in Cottonwood to have a lot of mom-and-pop, family-owned restaurants. We don't have that many chains, and I think it's important to recognize that we're a community that can support, you know, our local entrepreneurs and our local mom and pops.
Exactly. Geographically speaking, as you drive from Sedona, you will come to the main stage before you come to anything else, mm-hmm. and they pride themselves on community and working within the community and, yeah. and have great entertainment, and it's a great venue, and it's a Midtown. And then, you know, we talk about the Far Side. Oh, they even named a restaurant the Far Side if we're going to give undue promotion because it's so far from Old Town. Because right. as people do, they concentrate mm-hmm. and when they have these kinds of conversations. Mm-hmm. And we're trying not to do that. Old Town so much. And there is a whole rest of Cottonwood that is worthy of some attention.
Right.
So what's it like being mayor? How long have you been mayor now, actually taken off?
Well, I was sworn in on November 21st, I believe.
Okay, so what's the first few couple of months of being? You were on the council, so being in city government is really not a huge, huge change, right? But now you're mayor.
Yeah, I'm not unfamiliar with the lay of the land, certainly as far as being an elected official. But it's much, much, much different being a mayor. There's certainly a lot more responsibility. I found myself representing organizations that I didn't know I had to represent.
Gotcha.
Just yeah. been a kind of a challenge trying to juggle my calendar. I'm a working mayor. Our former mayor, Diane Jones, was retired, so she was able to dedicate as much time as she wanted to the job, and she did a great job being a full-time mayor. I have a lot to juggle. I have a young family business. Yeah, young family. I'm a father. Yeah. Two young daughters. I've got a construction business. I do need to work full time. So it's a juggle. It's definitely a juggle.
Tim is known for his craftsmanship and redoing older homes, and so it's hard to juggle all of that. You've got family. You've got a business that you've got to support the family mm-hmm. with, and you've got being mayor, which can. Mm-hmm. I imagine it expanding in and taking up all the time you have left.
It does. It fills in all those little voids of time that you used to have, and that's okay. You know, I signed up for the job. I think those who know me personally know I don't tire easily. I'm very passionate about my community, so I don't see that my other obligations will in any way hinder my ability to be a great mayor for Cottonwood.
I had in my notes here that I did want to spend a minute or two talking about the election.
Okay.
And how it worked, just so people understood it. And that's part of it. I mean, you know, Tim Alinsky was elected mayor of Cottonwood in, as Steve pointed out, a nonpartisan race. Mm-hmm. At least there's no R or D next to your name on the ballot, and nobody runs as a Democrat or a mm-hmm. Republican, although there may be certain values reflected in the race. But you... there was, I want to call it a runoff, but and according to the rules, you had to get more than 50%
right.
In the primary, on the first round.
Right.
And you got 44?
We had, I think 44% of the vote in the primary.
And the second person was down in the 20s.
That's correct.
Second and third person were down. Yeah. The three people running for mayor were down in the 20s. Mm-hmm. So there had to be a runoff, quote, on election day between the top two.
Right.
How did you make out there?
I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think we received in the runoff election 5% of the vote. So it was close. It was a close race.
Well, some of us consider 55% a landslide in national terms. So you won handily, quite frankly, in our world.
I guess, based on what we did in the primary, we were I think, less than 100 votes away from securing the seat in the primary. So yeah.
Now, how do you run a campaign for mayor? I mean, what did you emphasize? I mean, there were a lot of candidates, if I remember. Mike knows more about Cottonwood politics than I do. But mm-hmm. I remember there were candidates. It was a very hard-fought race. Mm-hmm. And what do you do? How do you become mayor of a small town?
You know, we started early was the thing we did, I think, more than any other candidate. Slow and steady wins the race, I think, and that's we sort of held to that motto. We held a consistent number of meet and greets throughout the community, ranging from, being invited into somebody's living room to holding a barbecue in a public park and inviting folks. So we did, 2 to 3 of these a month for, a year, basically, and that's how we won our base. Was very open to speaking with folks. I tried to get out as much as I could in the community.
You had some help?
Oh, we certainly had help. I had a great team working with me. A lot of people saw the value in what I was trying to provide, so I think it was easy to get folks on board.
As an observer, a Cottonwood resident and observer, the very things we just mentioned about Tim Alinsky's burden, family, business, are also those things that got you elected. Family, mm-hmm. business, mm-hmm. The fact that you had skin in the game, that you a full-fledged resident of Cottonwood with a young family, and with a business. People wanted that.
Yeah, and we did a lot of creative things, too, to engage different sectors of the community. And we are a very diverse community in Cottonwood, so we did...
We are that.
We tried hard to connect with the retirees, and we tried very hard to connect with the millennials as well. And
that explains all those fundraisers in the bars.
That's right. Exactly.
That I was at.
And in Sedona, there's traditionally some conflict between the retirees and the tourists because we have mm-hmm. millions of tourists. Mm-hmm. And the retirees already have earned their money. The business people love having the tourists, but some of the retirees would just as soon not. There's not that kind of tension in Cottonwood, right?
No, there's really not. We're not really recognized yet as a tourism-based economy. I think we're really more of a retiree-based economy at this point. So that tension doesn't exist. Yeah.
So listen, I've been around here a long time, and I know that, and as a reporter for a while, you guys are always doing strategic plans.
Mm-hmm.
Sedona's, you can't swing a dead cat, I don't know why you want to, without hitting, 4 old strategic plans. So
right.
Tell us about Cottonwood's strategic plan.
Well, historically, we try to do them about once a year. We skipped 1 year, I think, most likely because Diane Jones was campaigning at the time, so I don't think there was a lot of energy for a strategic plan. But it was very important to me. So right when I was sworn in, I started working on our next strategic plan. And it's important to get the entire council on board and set the course of direction for the next year. And our strategic plan is going to last for 12 to 24 months. So, yeah, we'll certainly do it every year. That's my plan, is to do it every year, and I want to bump it up a little bit more closely to the time that the new council's seated. So hopefully in November 2018, we'll be doing our strategic plan in mid-November.
New people, new plan.
New people, new plan, yeah.
Measure twice, cut once.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Carpenter's thing.
Exactly. So, yeah, certainly we do them once a year. What the council does with its strategic plan is, I don't want to shelf this plan. And I don't think we've shelved our plans in the past, but, I'm taking this plan very seriously. The council's
good.
Given some very clear direction, and we're going to move forward with it.
Who's involved?
So in this strategic plan, what I did is different than what we've done in the past, and I think different than what's been done in the community, and perhaps even across the state, and it was very well received. It was a 2-day planning session. The first day we received 10-minute presentations from a variety of agencies across the valley. So I sent out about 35 requests for presentations, and 29 folks RSVP'd. So we had 29 different presentations from folks ranging from Spectrum Healthcare to the Verde Valley Senior Center to Kiwanis to the Bicycle Advisory Committee, to Vets for Hire, you name it. They were invited to come in and present to council. Of course, we had our elected representatives as well come in and speak with council at the very end of the day. So we had Mayor Sandy Moriarty was in to speak with us, Frank Vanderhorst, Mayor Vanderhorst from Jerome, Russ Martin, town manager from Camp Verde. He was there accompanied by Vice Mayor Murdoch. We had Mayor Von Gossick was there as well, and we had representation from the county through our new county supervisor, Randy Garrison. So we really had just an incredible amount of folks there presenting to us. And the questions that they were asked were, what are the challenges that you're facing in the next 1 to 2 years? And in what ways do you feel Cottonwood Council can help you achieve your goals and help you out with your challenges? So that's really the way that we focused the conversation. Then we took all that information, and on day two, we processed through it and came up with a strategic plan that is very collaborative in nature, and hopefully we'll move our community forward more quickly and more efficiently.
Can you give us an outline of it? What are the most important points, Tim, in the new plan?
Well, we changed our mission statement. Our new mission statement is inspiring a vibrant community. Inspiring a vibrant community. Yeah, short, memorable, hopefully punchy. And definitely a change from what our former mission statement was, which I can't remember. It's
that's
so long
a bad side, yeah. Tim. If you're the mayor and you can't remember, the former mission statement.
It was lengthy, and it was a mission statement that really could apply to any community. So we're trying to separate ourselves from other communities and be a little bit punchier, a little bit more progressive.
But it sounds like that you work with or coordinate with the other cities and towns in the Verde Valley.
We do. We do already. There's a tremendous amount of coordination. But, you know, there's always room for improvement. And, you know, I as mayor am planning on setting higher expectations for myself and for the community. We can always do better. And that's the model that I adhere to, is constant improvement.
Well, what's the most important thing or a couple of very important things that the city council can do for Cottonwood now with this new plan?
Let me, if you don't mind, I'll just go down the list of, we came up with six directives during our retreat. Mm-hmm. So these are, and each directive, of course, has different goals assigned to it. But this is really going to, again, define our coursework for the next 12 to 24 months. So first off is community engagement. So the council really felt collectively that engaging the community is incredibly important to us moving forward. We feel like transparency was a big issue during the last year, especially with the campaign. So we want to make sure that we engage the community.
I'm going to interrupt you and say, sure. There is a link on your Cottonwood website that says Cottonwood Transparency. I saw it right away.
Right.
And I said, what is this? And you don't see that. And so good on you for having it there. And then I did follow it, and it has mm-hmm. things like quarterly reports and all sorts of city stuff that you want, you know, that you want people to know. Where's the money going? Follow the money, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. You want to know that? You got a link on the Cottonwood Town website called Cottonwood Transparency, which is kind of cool. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's right. Second directive is promote a vibrant, healthy, and educated community. Third is marketing Cottonwood. And this is to be more of a collaborative effort to make sure that we market Cottonwood on a regional, with regional cooperation. Promote, preserve natural and historic resources. Fifth is develop, support, and maintain infrastructure. And the sixth is manage future growth. So again, under each one of those directives are specific goals we plan to accomplish in the next 24 months to achieve those directives.
After we talk a minute here, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to talk about managing that growth.
Okay.
Democratic perspective is supported in part by El Portal, a luxury pet-friendly inn located in the heart of Sedona that wishes to encourage discussion and debate of many points of view. Mostly mine, but Steve Segner over there is much more open-minded than I am, and he invites all sorts of folks into his place. It's ranked among the 50 best small hotels in the U.S. by Condé Nast, and you know that Condé Nast thing. It's one of those rich people's magazines that some of us have never seen. El Portal offers one of the best breakfasts to be had in Sedona, served 7:30 to 10:30. So tell us about... you know,
and you'll often find us there having breakfast.
You could find us there in a few minutes. But we want to talk about one of the things that, you know, living in Cottonwood for all of these years, the fact, the tenant that an entity, a county, a city that doesn't control its water doesn't control its future.
Right.
So Cottonwood set about, while you were on the council and before, collecting water companies. It was like Monopoly,
right.
Cottonwood. But you have a Cottonwood owns its water company. Now, a lot of, some people didn't agree with this because buying water companies costs money.
Mm-hmm.
But you own the water companies. You own the sewer.
Yes, we do.
What's going on?
And when I say we own it, I mean we, the citizens of Cottonwood. And it's just incredibly important that the citizens of Cottonwood have a stake in their future. And I think you're right. If you don't own your water company, you don't own your future. And water is, you know, the single most important resource that we have here in the
Arizona
desert.
This is Arizona, folks. Exactly. You know, water, water, water.
Yeah, yeah. You can't, you know, we can't survive without it. We can't survive without the river either. So, you know, the river historically is the reason why Cottonwood and the Upper Verde Valley developed. A lot of folks just simply don't know that river flows year round. It flows through Cottonwood. Really is the heart of Cottonwood. So
it's extraordinarily beautiful. I've rafted on it, and it's extraordinarily beautiful river in spring. The river, the flowers grow along the banks, but also down in the water.
Right.
You'll see a sea of yellow flowers one part of the year. Mm-hmm. And you guys have done a great job, I think, in improving access to the river and beginning to promote it. I know you're working with a whole lot of different river groups that Mike was talking about.
Right.
I think Cottonwood's done a good job on that.
Yeah.
The trail down to the river is much better when I arrived 15 years ago or so in Sedona.
Yeah. It's true, and I think you can look forward to seeing the council now ramping up its efforts to even do more to promote access and recreation down on the river with kid gloves on to make sure that we don't also love it to death.
There is a huge thing about quote unquote developing in your waterfront, whether it's Oak Creek, whether it's the Verde River. It's certainly an attraction, but you want to maintain it to be that attraction and not ugly.
You've done some good things over the last 10 years, I think, with public facilities. You have a some of the things that they built, right, Mike? We envy in Sedona. You have a really good athletic. Recreation center is beautiful.
Yeah, it's built with tax money. Isn't that amazing what you can do with taxes?
You actually built it, which I mean, I think to me, it's local government is a lot not about Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives. Mm-hmm. It's about people who want to invest in a town and people who just don't want to spend any money on anything.
That's right.
That's kind of the conflict. And so that's the fight. And you can have it's not a party thing. It's a perception of where you want to go and what you want to do.
And what you want to provide your community. The Cottonwood Rec Center, as you know, is probably the most used facility anywhere on the planet. It is used constantly every hour. It's open. It has an incredible diversity of services that it offers. And I'm not going to say any more about it. You can go check out all of the things that are in there. Please buy a membership. Our transportation system, you talk about things that other towns envy. I remember back in the 80s when they were, Cottonwood Area Transit System was first formed, buying the everything from the purple buses and all the struggles of getting a public transportation. Yep. But we got one.
Yep.
If you're hearing, I'm
we have
so
one, and
proud
we have a good
town.
One. Yeah, no, it's an incredible, impressive transit system. And the recreation center too is impressive. I mean, we offer some great services in Cottonwood. It comes at a cost, certainly, but I think it puts us on the map as far as being a very progressive, vibrant community.
And you have a hospital right in the middle of it all. So yeah, I mean, I sound like a one man PR campaign for Cottonwood. It's got it going on.
Yeah, we should hire you as a goodwill ambassador for Cottonwood. You're doing a great job.
And I use all those facilities, including every one of those tasting rooms, I might add. And we have
Mike avoids some of the tasting rooms part of the year because his bill's built up.
Well, that's maybe true.
Well, thanks for supporting Cottonwood.
We have a young and vibrant mayor. Not so young, quite frankly. You just have this young demeanor. You know, you've been on the council for 10 years. You've been in business. You're not a kid. You know what's going on, and yet you're willing to give your time to the community. So we talked a little bit about water. Let's talk about the controversial sewer plant. Now, what made people angry about the sewer plant?
Cost. $13 million. That's just a ton of money. That's a ton of money for a plant that could have been built for half that amount. That's I think the primary
Well, then as a taxpayer, I'm going to ask, why didn't you build it for half that amount?
Because, you know, and I was on board with this sewer plant up to a point. I am also concerned about the amount of money that we're putting into it. However, I did just tour it the other day. The former, and this was in the works for
many
probably
years.
Nine years probably. When I first got on council, it was Dwayne Kirby, former council member Dwayne Kirby was really a huge advocate of this facility. And the concept was that it would be obviously state of the art, but also more accessible to the public with a learning facility in there and the direct injection wells that would recharge the aquifer. The fact that it's all gravity fed. So, for example, in Cottonwood, for whatever reason, we put the sewer plant at the highest point in the city, which means we have to pump, you know, sewer all the way up, and that, you know, just the electricity alone to pump that is making APS smile day in, day out. So we really had to figure out a way to put a satellite facility down in a lower section of town, close to where we could use all that reclaimed water. And so that was really where the concept started. So this wasn't meant to be a concrete box that processes poop. This was meant to be a state-of-the-art facility that the community could be proud of. And we did hire, I think, the best contractor available to build this facility. It's a Cadillac facility. That's why it costs so much. And it is something I think the community can be proud of. And I hope that when it's completed, which should be toward the end of this summer, that we open this facility up to the community. It has a huge community room built into it with a beautiful view over
riverfront. You've got a community room in the sewer plant.
Yes, we do.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, we do. No, it is.
And it costs twice as much because it's twice as nice.
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah, it absolutely is. And again, it's just a way to make sure that we're lowering our impact on the aquifer. Mm-hmm. That's priority one.
So it should save money on electricity eventually, right?
Certainly. Yeah, and it can process 300,000 gallons, you know, and it's with this direct injection well, you know, we're offsetting our use of the aquifer.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to local government, folks. We were talking about the sewer system in Cottonwood, Arizona, not national politics this morning.
One of my first interviews was Dwayne Kirby, the man he just mentioned that was on the council,
okay.
And he passed away not so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was on the sewer board in Camp Verde when they and you know why do we have to cover sewer? That first question I asked my editor said, mm-hmm. "Listen, I went to college. You're sending me out to cover a sewer."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, this you know for a it's a huge output of public money,
right?
And that's why we cover it." So mm-hmm. I became the poop processing expert on the staff and was proud of it. I wrote Pulitzer Prize winning sewer story.
Wow.
That was my. But every time I sat down to write it, that was my intent.
Yeah.
But that is the idea, and that's what made people so mm-hmm. mad, I think.
He's been a distant runner-up for many Pulitzer Prize
right,
stories.
Right, distant runner-up. And water, you know, like I said earlier, water is the single most important resource that we have, and definitely reclaimed water is the second most important resource we have.
I want to ask you at some point, Tim, we don't have to do it now. I want to ask you, what's the biggest challenge in Cottonwood, to Cottonwood City Government? What is your biggest problem?
Well, my opinion, and I don't believe I share this alone, my opinion is that the biggest challenge right now facing Cottonwood is poverty and lack of access to education, post-secondary education. Huge, huge issue for Cottonwood. And this really came up during our planning retreat as well. A lot of the agencies echoed those same concerns. That
we have done half a dozen shows on Democratic Perspective about what we consider the college's, Yavapai mm-hmm. College's, lack of services on this side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That they are a great institution that seems to have a favorite mm-hmm. on the other side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That they collect taxes from this side, they don't serve this side. We have done at least five or six shows mm-hmm. on that.
Yeah, maybe.
And I'm
more.
Going to say, that's what you're referring to. And we believe that they are trying very hard. James Perry is out there, and you can't mm-hmm. swing an old newspaper without finding James Perry
right.
there explaining exactly why
right.
they don't spend money.
Right.
I'm not sure that's what we'd rather because we know, mm-hmm. the mayor of Cottonwood knows, what a post-secondary educational institution can do to an economy.
Absolutely.
Foreign economy.
Absolutely.
Just as it's doing in Prescott Valley, just mm-hmm. as it's doing in Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not doing enough.
So yeah, there's a lack of technical education and all kinds of...
Certainly. Career tech is a big issue right now. A lot of folks want to, you know, get in...
That's where the money is.
That's where the money is right now. You know, there's a huge gap of workforce housing and, excuse me, workforce... there's a huge gap of talent in the workforce right now. So we need to offer some career tech to train these folks to take the jobs that are coming our way. You know, I believe that, you know, Cottonwood is poised for another growth boom, and we simply don't have the workforce here to accommodate that.
So that actually affects your economy in a serious way, not having stronger secondary education, mm-hmm. not having a stronger community college presence. I mean, there's a beautiful little campus in Clarkdale, which everybody, I think, in the Verde Valley who hasn't read or looked at a map thinks is in Cottonwood.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, I thought it was in Cottonwood for a long time.
Right. Sure.
The challenge is that mm-hmm. there's still a lot of poverty in mm-hmm. in the Verde Valley, in mm-hmm. Cottonwood, and there's a lack of educational facilities to get people out of it.
That's true. And the thing is that, you know, those living in poverty, which represents nearly a quarter of Cottonwood residents, they really aren't equipped to be the best advocates for themselves. So it falls on the council and leadership in the community to be their advocates. And that's what I plan to do as mayor in Cottonwood, is to make sure that we are advocating for strong post-secondary education in Cottonwood. We're not going to attract businesses who want to move into an area where the workforce doesn't exist, or the workforce isn't adequate to fill the needs of the jobs that they're trying to bring into the area. So we have to start taking ourselves more seriously. We have to focus on post-secondary educational opportunities in Cottonwood.
Whatever they are. Well, I mentioned Yavapai College as one of them because mm-hmm. it's the publicly funded entity.
Right.
But as we know, there are lots of privately funded entities. Mm-hmm. There are lots of routes to training mm-hmm. and advancement.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kinds of things, hopefully, that you and the council will be looking for in the future. Training is the first thing, I guess, we think of when we're talking about ways out of poverty. But... jobs, job growth, all kinds of jobs are ways out of poverty too.
Right.
The tasting rooms are just as welcome as the gun processing plant. You know, we need
right.
we need it all. I guess is what
we do. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's because right now I believe we focus our marketing efforts primarily on attracting retirees. I think that's where we're going to see our biggest surge of growth is from the retirees. We're, I believe, 2 years into a 17-year curve of, you know, what they call the silver tsunami of the baby boomers retiring out. They're looking for a place to move. Cottonwood is extremely attractive. So, you know, we're looking at really, I believe that's where we're focusing our marketing efforts right now. Unfortunately, I don't see retirees as an industry. It provides a short term. I'm sorry, Mike.
It's all right. It's okay.
Mike I do like you, Mike, but I don't.
Yeah, Mike is an industry into himself.
I like the senior tsunami, though. I don't give that phrase short shrift. That's you know, we like phrases around here.
You know, I don't mean to speak negatively on retirees. There's many benefits to having a great population of retirees in your community. They have a lot to offer. You know, they can volunteer for boards and commissions. Extremely well educated, they tend to be, and so, you know, we have. There's a lot of benefits. So I'm just saying we can't survive solely on marketing ourselves as a retirement community. We have to focus on other industries. So I think the other thing to remember when you do attract a wide, you know, bigger population of retirees is that the industries that they do attract are service oriented industries.
Mayor Ilinski, do you have off the top of your head? Do you know what boards and commissions openings that you have?
We have an opening on the Planning and Zoning Commission, Historic Preservation Commission, Parks and Recreation Commission. I believe we have an opening on the Library Board as well. And we did just recently create a new advisory committee, a selection committee, which will be, I guess I can go in a little bit more detail on that. Should
Please.
I? You want to just talk about boards and commissions for a second?
Then? Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a big priority of mine. One of the things I campaigned on was to engage the community. So when I first took office, I wanted to make sure that we were getting our boards and commissions. I was hoping to standardize the meeting time and location of our boards and commissions to make sure that they were more available to the public. So we gained a lot of headway in that respect. So though we're not all of our boards and commissions will be meeting at the same location at the same time, we're certainly doing a lot more to make them accessible to the public.
This is sort of the nitty-gritty of local politics that you don't hear about.
Well, that's
it. A lot of it is just technical expertise and good management of limited resources.
Mm-hmm. And getting people on those boards and commissions almost regardless of and getting them trained and getting mm-hmm. them up to speed.
Yeah, well, they play a critical role in our community. These are advisory boards to the council, some quite technical, like the Airport Commission, very technical in nature. Historic Preservation Commission, also fairly technical in nature. So, you know, we as council members can't provide all of those technical duties on behalf of the citizens. So we really rely on our boards and commissions to do that job for us.
And those are mostly retirees that have the time to do it or not.
It's split, really. Some commissions have more retirees than others, but it's wide open.
There's a sense that that's a crony system prior to some of the things mm-hmm. that you were talking about. So you have opened that up, and you have at least made it more transparent on how people get on boards and commissions.
I have, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. So what the process that I proposed to council, and we developed sort of a hybrid system to what a lot of other cities and towns across the state, and I'm assuming across the nation, use a process for selecting these appointments, and it's basically a selection committee. So put a selection committee together that goes through the applications and finds the most qualified and makes a recommendation to council on who they should appoint. So we sort of have a hybrid system. We have a selection committee that scores these applicants on a blind matrix. So they never know who they're scoring by name. They only base their score off of qualifications and fitment.
Interesting.
Yeah, fitment to the office. And then the council then has the opportunity to interview the applicants in public, and they too score the applicants. You combine the two matrices, it comes up with a total, and then that selection committee makes a recommendation to council.
I was going to ask you, too, you were on the council for 10 years. Mm-hmm. What's your biggest surprise at moving from being a council member to being the mayor of Cottonwood?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know that I was surprised in any way. You know, I've chaired the Historic Preservation Commission for about 6 years. So I don't think I think I'm used to trying to, corral a lot of different opinions. And
you hit the ground running because you had so much experience in city government and on the commissions and stuff.
Certainly, and I'm not saying I won't trip up now and again. I certainly will. You know, I have limitations. I'll continue to have limitations to doing the best I can. I mean, I'll always do the best I can, but I think just given my time constraints, I think at the end of the day, at the end of my 4 years, I'll wish I had done a lot more.
Well, let's give you a chance to be mean. That's my role here on Democratic. Okay. So you have a council you have to work with. You had a big change, a lot of personnel change on the council. Mm-hmm. Are they any good? You like them?
I do like them, yeah. I like them a lot. I think we had a great planning session. I'm not going to be mean. I know you're
good. I was kidding.
No,
I like them all, by the way.
You know, I think we have a good – we're going to have divergent opinions on a lot of different issues, and I think that's important. I think that, you know, right out of the chute, this council has had a lot of split votes, 3-4 votes. Our former mayor didn't like to see that too often, a split vote. It doesn't bother me at all. I think that's really what we're here to do. We're here to have a robust discussion about the policy issues that we face. I hope that we'll have more split votes because it means that we're doing our job, frankly. We're representing the divergent needs of our community.
Tim, what would people be split about, for example?
We haven't had too many controversial issues face us yet. They're coming. But for example, standardizing the boards and commissions, that was one thing that was, I believe, a 3-4 split that got voted down. I think that, the rest of the majority council felt that it would be an undue burden on the citizens, undue burden on the commissioners and the staff, the city staff members that support that commission, to have to standardize their time and location. So they felt that, and I'm just summarizing what they said, that to have the commissioners have to come into the council chambers, which is where I proposed we standardize the location, to meet at 6 p.m., which was the time I propose we standardize, because that really is the recognized public meeting facility, and that really is the recognized public meeting time.
Can citizens sit in on these commission meetings?
Absolutely. They're invited. You actually cannot disinvite
them.
It's a public body, so the public's business must be done in public. That's what I was trying to accomplish, was making sure.
Could you have some conversations with the federal government, please?
No, I won't go there. But yeah, the public's business must be done in public, and that's what I was trying to accomplish, was to make sure that if we standardize it, then it's certainly more accessible. People get used to the fact that, you know, there will be a meeting there at all times, and then really promote and advertise what it is that we're doing. Now, you know, though I didn't, and I don't want to say win, it's not about winning or losing, but we weren't able to standardize. We weren't able to get consensus on standardizing those. But we did, you know, the council did discuss, and even those that didn't want to standardize the time and locations, they still believe in transparency. So I don't mean to say that I disagree with them. I think we just have slightly different opinions on the best way to accomplish that. But
right. There are, you know, in Cottonwood, you got the Business Assistance Center, you got the Public Safety Building, and you got the council chambers. So mm-hmm. And more venues for these public meetings, and standardizing them would have let the whole town know if they wanted to go to one, they're all in the same place on a, mm-hmm. on a particular at their day and time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea, but I also see the staff burden, and mm-hmm. You lost by a vote.
Certainly. Yeah, and that's
or
all right.
Or at least a change of opinion.
And legally, you have to have a staff person at all these.
We do. We have to take minutes, and you know, and now we're looking at based off of our strategic planning retreat. Mayor Sandy Moriarty, they do a great process here where they have really more task oriented commissions. They only maintain right now the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Historic Preservation Commission in Sedona. So one of our goals is to monitor the efficiency and monitor the results of our commissions. If we don't feel like we're getting the results we want, then we might go to a process more like what Sandy Moriarty, the mayor of Sedona, does now. And that they don't fall under the open meeting law restrictions, because they're not a commission that's appointed by the council. They're a committee.
You have 1 minute to sum up being mayor of Cottonwood, Arizona.
All right.
Time is of the essence, Tim.
Okay, again, Steve and Mike, thank you. Really appreciate being able to come in and speak. I am looking forward to being mayor of Cottonwood for 4 years. We have a lot to accomplish. I'm very self-motivated, very self-driven, also very self-critical. So,
yeah, it's a vibrant town that's gotten more vibrant every year I've watched it.
Yeah.
And the other thing I see, Tim, is that I'm glad that you're interested in some of the poverty that is in Cottonwood, mm-hmm. and I don't know what a small town can do about it. But you do see that issue as well as the prosperity of the town, and I guess that's just how things are. There's two sides of it: the mm-hmm. growing prosperity of Cottonwood, and the fact that some people are still kind of left behind in that.
Right. Well, it's not hopeless. I don't mean to say that the poverty issue in Cottonwood is hopeless. It's certainly not. There are many opportunities to make that better for Cottonwood.
Well, Tim Walensky, mayor of Cottonwood, I'm going to tell you that Thursday, February 16th. The Door Democrats of the Red Rocks is going to have their breakfast meeting, as they do every month, at the Old Sedona
Bar and Grill.
Okay. And we have it's going to call the pros and cons of the U.S. Electoral College, which some of us are going to show up and say they didn't do their job by voting out the demagogue that we now have president.
Mike has strong feelings about the Electoral College.
I'm not the only one, man. did you see the couple million women that turned out the other day? So, no, I'm not alone. So it's called The Pros and Cons of U.S. Electoral College. It's at 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Doors open at 8 a.m. February 16th. Check the website if you want more information. You can go to Door's website. They are great supporters of the show. You can go to our website. You can listen to our show on several points on the internet. KAZM, if you put in KAZM 780, you'll find this show streamed live at various places on the internet. You will find our old podcasts at vvid.org. You will find all our old shows. Tim's mom will be looking for this show on vvid.org. Thanks, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.